Welcome to the Sexually Speaking Podcast. I'm your host, sexual health educator and coach, Shannon Hammaker. I've dedicated my time to learn from sexperts and hear success stories. See what I did there? From real people like yourself that have tangible tools and insight on how you can create the relationship that you truly desire. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversations. Welcome, everyone, and welcome to Jennifer Ruskin, my new friend who is going to talk to us about conscious uncoupling. Breaking up is hard to do, but it can be done with love, respect, and dignity. And Jennifer's going to talk to us about how we can create a breakup that leaves us, well, leaves you and your partner feeling good, where you both are excited to be able to like enter into this new phase of your life with compassion. And while you still grieve, I'm sure, right, Jennifer? But you kind of honor where you were with this person and then move forward with confidence and clarity in where you want to go. So I cannot wait to talk to you about this. Now, Jennifer is a mom to two teenage boys. She's partnered to Scott, a multi-million dollar revenue generator of a sales and marketing firm, podcast host, and sex and relationship coach. So I cannot wait to hear from you today, Jennifer. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. And I love normalizing my own podcast guests. So I thought it was important that we add in the bits about me that are totally normal. I'm a totally normal lady. You'd see me in Walmart and just think I'm totally normal.
I appreciate that. It helps normalize the not so normal things that we go through. And that's kind of what I'm opening the door to in the past few conversations that I've had on my podcast. We've talked about affair repair. And, you know, I'm friends with Rachel Maine. And if my listeners haven't heard me talk about her already, she's been on my podcast. And I heard your interview with her on open relationships. And I know that's a totally different subject, but you had mentioned in that episode about conscious uncoupling. And that piqued my interest because in the depths of frustration, resentment, perimenopause with my husband, trying to figure out like, how did I get here? Because I did not consciously decide to get to this place where I was unhappy in my marriage, but I felt stuck because I felt like I didn't want to leave because I cared for him. I loved him. And I heard about that conscious uncoupling concept. And immediately it put me at ease when I heard about the, you know, celebrities who have done it. And then I also heard a podcast episode of someone that had a conscious uncoupling, and it gave me the space to have more clarity as opposed to feeling like I had to have this nasty, ugly divorce where that was going to have this horrible effect on the kids and make a mark on them for the rest of their life. Now, we didn't end up going through that process, but just understanding that that was an option was just the energy completely changed in my ability to heal and understand what the next best decision was for me. So can you share your insight? Like, what is conscious uncoupling?
Absolutely. So conscious uncoupling for me, and what I like to coach other people on, is breaking up in a way that leaves the other person with dignity and respect. You can still love someone and break up with them. And I think if we were to think about all the different ways in our life that we terminate relationship, it's vast, right? It's every time you change jobs, right? It's every time you get fired, which for me has been several over the years. It's every time you break up with a boyfriend or every time you get divorced. It's breaking up with friends, right? As we get older and we evolve and we realize that the friend group from high school, not really your best friend anymore, right? Because you've evolved into a more dynamic, conscious person. That's a breakup too. So to me, conscious uncoupling is breaking up a relationship. It doesn't even have to be a romantic relationship with another human. And what I love about it is it doesn't have to be terrible. I know everyone listening is like, oh, what? It doesn't have to be terrible. I just refused to believe that I had to do what everyone else was doing. I've gone through two marriages. I've had two divorces. I've had two wonderful, beautiful chapters with two humans in my life. And we both came to this point at the end, each lasted about a decade, where we outgrew each other. it just wasn't the right fit anymore. And I feel like I did it much more gracefully the second time around. And as we go forward into this podcast, if you want to ask me more about it, I'm happy to tell you the story. But each time it gets easier as well. And not just breaking up with a romantic partner, but each time you have to fire a team member at work, each time you have to let someone go, each time you have to, you know, move to a new Pilates studio because your old one just wasn't the right vibe. Like every time you're making a step and a decision into alignment that's right for you and that feels more, I mean, I'd say in alignment again, but feels right internally in your cells, in your DNA. Every time you do that, it gets easier and it feels better and you feel lighter and you feel more empowered and you feel more like you than you've ever felt in your whole life.
Ooh, I just got goosebumps and I'm like sitting a little bit taller because I think about all these relationships as we move into, you know, I work a lot with women in perimenopause, like 35 to 55 primarily. And there's a lot of question about, am I in the right job? What about my best friends who I love dearly, but I feel like they're more of, I talk about drain friends and faucet friends, those friends that drain you as opposed to fill you up and make you feel better and you're growing with them. So yeah, I would love to hear your stories, both with friendship and with marriage. Like, what did that look like with you and how did you find conscious uncoupling?
Okay. So I feel like we are given an opportunity throughout our lives, and the opportunity is typically a milestone of some sort that makes us stop and evaluate our life. So for many of us, it's that crossover between 29 and 30. There's something impactful every decade of our lives that we go, what have I done and what have I created? And is it what I want? Those are really the three questions I think most of us stop. And we feel it's something like guttural. It's instinctual. It's in our DNA. Because there's nothing in the world that says when it's your 29th birthday, you need to like hang out and, you know, like dream what you want for the next 10 years. And you can be really intentional about that. And I think as we mature and we get older, we do that intentionally with each year. We do that with each decade. But there's something inside of us that stops when we're about to cross over into the threshold of a new decade. For me and every one of my friends, it was 29. And we all looked back and we said, okay, well, we're business professionals now. We've had several children. We're almost a decade into our first marriages. A lot of us married pretty young or got with our partners in high school or in college. And we said, is this something that we want to take into our 30s? And every one of us said, no, thank you. Every one of us got divorced at 29. And what I found for me was, again, that misalignment. So for me, my first husband was very, very much a whose dick is bigger kind of mentality. And it started in my early 20s. I met him when I was 19 and he was 29. So he was going into his own next phase chapter, right? Where I was just becoming an adult. And it was always, I'm smarter than you, so I'm going to get the next degree. I'm smarter than you, so I'm going to get my master's degree. I'm smarter than you, so I'm going to start a PhD program. So I spent all of my 20s like going, no, my dick is bigger and I'm going to also get that degree. And then I'll get that next degree. I did not get my PhD, but I did get my master's degree. And together we had two beautiful boys and thought I had everything life could have ever imagined for me. And I had the white picket fence and the huge mansion. And we made like $400,000 a year together. Like we had so much money and we had this huge house and these beautiful kids. And all of a sudden one day I was like, I feel like a princess trapped in the basement of this castle. And it's not what I want. And I'm so freaking unhappy with what I've created.
And this was at 29, you said? At 29?
This is at 29, yeah, when I had this awakening. And it was kind of a tumultuous marriage anyway, where there was a lot of like me leaving him and then reconciling and leaving again and reconciling. So it's not like it was perfect and all of a sudden I woke up. It was really 29, I had freaking enough. So that was the first time that I uncoupled. And I did a couple things right then, even though baby Jen was 29. And I've learned a lot over the last decade. But I realized it didn't have to be awful. Although he was in a lot of pain, I worked for years before I finally left him to try to manifest the next man. I knew what I wanted next. I knew I wanted someone calm. I needed a safe space. I needed someone that would love my children. And I knew as well that my first husband loved my kids too. He loved our kids. And so the first thing that we did that was really unconventional was our schedule of when we would have visitation. We did 2 days on, 2 days off every other weekend. My oldest is 14, and we have not stopped doing that since him and I got divorced. So for a good decade, we've done a very untraditional style of visitation. This is a huge piece of conscious uncoupling because your attorney and the courts are going to say it's 1 week on, 1 week off if you even have joint visitation. And if the mother or the father gets custody, it's every other weekend and part of the summer, which is horrific, right?
Yeah.
If you love your children and you want to be a part of their lives, you have to figure out how to do something different. So a lot of conscious uncoupling, if we take another 50,000 foot view, is how can I do this differently? And feeling empowered enough to do that. So another thing that we did is we shared an attorney. It was his attorney. On the second marriage, it was my attorney, but he paid the attorney. I paid for half of it, but it was his. And then the collective, the three of us, so both of us and the attorney, figured out how we would split assets. You know, I could have had alimony, was like, no, thank you. I can make my own freaking money. I don't need your own. Whatever we came into the marriage, we came out with, including debt. So we made some very clear decisions on what would be best for both of us. And that's what we ended up doing. That's another huge piece of conscious uncoupling. Again, remember, just because everyone else has been nasty, and just because every attorney, you know, most attorneys are going to say, let's do what's best for you and what's best for me in my own pocketbook, doesn't mean that you can't come to the table with some alternative solutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll stop here and ask of you if you have any questions before I go to the second decade.
Yes, I would love to ask, what kind of emotional support? Well, first of all, I want to point out that the brain is not fully formed until 27. So this blows my mind that, like, I think back to myself at 30, 29, 30, I just met my husband. I was not that mature. I was still partying, like coping skills were drinking alcohol and finding all the fun and pleasure and not dealing with the quote, icky feelings of anger, frustration, resentment. So that blows my mind. The second thing I wanted to ask you is, what kind of emotional support did you have going through this? And did your ex have that emotional support? Because it seems like there's got to be some kind of an awareness moving into that relationship breakup where you're like, I want to leave my partner with dignity. I want them to have a good life. They're still the father of my kids. And I want to be conscious of that, right?
No, there was none during this phase in my life. It was interesting too, because that particular marriage, he was very secretive and didn't want me to be in relationship with family or friends. It was very controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, I was my own emotional support animal. I didn't tell friends. I didn't tell family. I didn't tell coworkers. I just internally knew in my gut that the right thing to do wasn't what everyone else was telling me in society, and that there was a better way to do it. And I just freaking did it. But I've kind of operated this way ever since I was little. Like, I sold Mary Kay the second I turned 18. I worked for Walmart Home Office. I've done sales jobs. I started my own brokerage firm. I did all this in my 20s. And it was a lot of like blinders on. Like, if you think about a horse and the blinders around the horse's eyes, you can only see ahead of you, which society may tell you is a bad thing. It was fantastic. It's always been fantastic for me as a businesswoman. You mentioned I've made millions of dollars. This is how I do it. I put the blinders on and I'm like, what's best for me? What's most in alignment for me? What makes sense for me and the people that work for me and the clients that we have? And that's how I make business decisions. It's also how I make personal decisions. So I was the person that got me through my 20s, but my 30s is a different story.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Okay. So one of the topics that I coach on is online dating. You mentioned open relationships. That's the second one. So online dating, open relationships, and conscious uncoupling. It's interesting because it's kind of like the three different phases of our life. If you were to open, that would be one of them. If you were to consciously uncouple, dating would be next. So it kind of all flows into each other. And so I guess I want to jump into like the online dating piece, and I'll quickly jump into that. I got on dating apps. Let me tell you, they didn't exist when I was 19, right? So all of a sudden, a decade later, all this, electronic dating was all the rage and still is. And so I had to learn quickly like which apps were which and how to get on. So I ended up finding my second husband, I would say 90% through manifestation, because I was so freaking clear from the last few years of my very tumultuous marriage what I didn't want, and I knew what I did want. And within 90 days of leaving my first husband, brought him in. So I was on match.com. He kept showing up in my matches. He was not at all how I tweaked the back end. You know how you can say like, I want this level of education. I want this level of income. I want this kind of person that loves dogs or cats, or nothing I'd put in there was what he was. But Match and the universe kept sending him in. It was like matches of the day. And he kept showing up. And I was like, I'm going to trick the system. I'm going to just go out on a date with this guy to get him off my matches of the day so I can get some new guys in. So I sent him a text and I was like, can we just have coffee? Is this happening for you too? It's really frustrating. And he was like, no, it's not happening for me. And sure, I'll have coffee. And as soon as we met, our eyes locked and I was like, I'm going to marry this guy. There was something inside of me that knew. And he was amazing to my boys and I for over 8 years. And he held us in such a safe space, such a safe container, that we calmed our nervous systems. We got to breathe. I got to figure out who the heck I am as a woman, and not just a mom, but Jennifer. And I joined a priestess group and I did all kinds of woo shit. And I had just the best time figuring out who I am. And then towards the end of those 8 years, this veil kind of fell and I was like, oh, I need more. I needed more from my sex life. I needed a partner that could communicate to me in a deep, conscious way. Like, I just wanted more. And so we went to therapy and we did all the work that we could do. And then we both ended up deciding to open up our marriage, which is the third pillar that I talk about open relationships. And we played around with that for a little bit. And then a few months in, he looked at me and he was like, I don't want this. I'm super vanilla. I just want a vanilla relationship with a vanilla lady. Like, what we were before we opened is what he wanted. And so we consciously agreed to separate and to get divorced. I had a 30-day divorce. It was uncontested. We created our proposal or whatever that's called to the lawyer to say like, this is exactly how we wanted to do. I patterned it. I got the lawyer. We split the lawyer. We did something very similar to my first marriage where whatever you came in with, you leave, including debt, including new assets. He had a grandfather that passed away and left tens of thousands of dollars. He got to keep that. Nobody asked for alimony. I kept the house because I paid for the house the whole time. So it was like so clean and so beautiful. And I was, you know, we were both checking in with each other, like, what kind of support do you need? Do you need any new furniture for your new apartment? Like, how can I support you? Let me help pay for your car for a few months so that we can figure out our credit scores and making sure you can go get a new one. All this stuff that just, I wanted him to feel like, number one, I told him, thank you for all the years that you gave me of safety and support, for calming my nervous system and for loving me and my children, not his children, my children, so well. And then he came back to me in therapy one day and said, Jen, thank you. Thank you for creating this amazing life, for all the vacations and all the fun. Thank you for allowing me to love your boys. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of their life. And he still shows up to their baseball games.
Oh my gosh.
He still comes and takes them to pizza. He talks to my ex-husband, first husband, and communicates with him for the kids. He's really shown up and been an active role in our lives, even post-divorce.
And I'm crying. I am on my cycle too. That's part of the part. We talk about our menstrual cycle all the time in this podcast, and that happens, but that is so beautiful. So fucking beautiful. I wish that, knowing that 50% of couples go through divorces, I wish that they had that, because that would be just, I think, there was an impact that a family had on me that, you know, they had split up. And I just remember talking to one of my mentors who was a part of that family. And she was like, we just love each other. We just keep adding and we just love each other where we're at. We may not understand everything. And I remember that, and that stuck with me. And I just remember looking at those nasty divorces that happen and people that cheat and, or, you know, have an affair or whatever. And wondering what got them to that point, and how can we have a normalized conversation that this is an, accessible thing and good for everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love hearing that story. Okay. Tell us more about the conscious uncoupling. What is that? That looks like that, I guess the bottom line, like splitting the things up. What does it look like emotionally?
Ooh, I think there's even a step before that. And that's deciding what to do if you're going to break up, and that gets to look different, because not everything has to end in divorce. Not everything has to end in you and your partner leaving the house even. Now, assuming that you're safe and you're not being physically abused, obviously, this conversation can go a different way. So one of my clients came to me and she said, I've been married for 15 years. I have twins and I have a daughter as well. So we have three kids together. And she's like, I just don't want to have sex with him anymore. Very much in your age group of perimenopause, right? She's like, I don't know if it's my hormones. I don't know. I've been working for years with a therapist myself. We've also done marriage therapy. And I just have zero desire. Not only that, he doesn't communicate with me at all. I beg for him to communicate all this. So basically, she's justifying breaking up, which is totally fair. And everyone gets to be in their own story and everyone gets to be in their own reality. So she came to me and she was like, talk to me about my options. What can I do? What can I do that's different? I don't know that I want to go through a complete divorce. So obviously, option one is divorce, right? It can be nasty. It can be nice. I gave you some options of what I did to make it be nice. Option two is that you guys continue to raise the kids together. And it can even look two ways. It can look one way of one of you move into the guest room and you're no longer, you know, sexually together. You can open up your relationship at this point and have sexual adventures with other people. You can say, as of this moment on, we are separated as a couple. We can continue to be married. We can continue to be a family with the kids, but we're no longer sexually intimate. And that can be an option. A third option that I have seen is sometimes there's a family home, and then sometimes there's an apartment or even two apartments. So whoever has custody of the kids at that time goes to the family home. And then whoever doesn't goes to either a shared apartment that you both have, or you both have your own apartments outside of the family home. This does sound the most expensive, and it's definitely the most dynamic and complex, but it's a fascinating one because then the kids aren't constantly going to one house to the other. We do something a little bit different. It's not a hybrid, but we live in the same subdivision. So my ex-husband, my children's dad, lives two blocks up. So my kids can easily walk from one house to the other if they forget something for school or for baseball, or I can just run down, you know, 60 seconds down the road to get it. And for us, that works, where we have two completely separate homes. So what I love is there's so many options these days, and I'm sure there's more than that. You know, these are just the ones that I'm aware of. There's so many different options to still stay married, especially if you have kids. This makes sense. If you're not, like, I don't know that makes sense, but there's so many options in location and what to do physically when you've decided to no longer be sexual, romantic partners, and you're ready to go see other people or date other people or no longer have that be a part of your life. Do you have any questions about that piece?
That reminds me of Demi Moore and Bruce Willis, because they bought houses across the street from each other. So basically the Demi Moore, Bruce Willis situation.
Yeah. And they've made it work and their partners are all involved. And that's basically how we also operate. Everybody's involved. It's almost like kitchen table polyamory, except we're not all sleeping together. Not anymore, at least.
Yeah, I see more of the pictures at holidays with more people at the table that, you know, exes and everyone's welcome. And I just love that.
We started doing that last Thanksgiving. We just, instead of taking a plate down the street to my ex-husband who doesn't have any family to do Thanksgiving with, we just started inviting him and the whole extended family, and he just fits right in. It's great.
That is wonderful. And the kids benefit from that. What kind of conversations do you have with the kids? You know, just, I'm going to speak out loud what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. It almost like when I tried to talk to my kids about LGBTQ, like conversation, you know, they were like, okay, like they didn't know what they didn't know. So they didn't know any different. So they didn't expect any different when, you know, I talked about how there's some kids have two moms, or, you know, we had that conversation. They're like, okay. And I said, I remember saying to my son, some people, just so you know, some people don't like that because it's against their belief, or I don't remember exactly what I said, but the look on his face was priceless because he looked at me like, what? And he was just confused. And he said, why do they care? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of a great point, 9-year-old, you know, why do they care? So that's what they learned. We learned that couples typically have a nasty divorce and there's kids that go back and forth, you know, that typical narrative of what a divorce looks like, but your situation is different. You have two teenage boys. So what was the conversation like with the uncoupling of each?
Yeah, great question. The first uncoupling, they were too young to even know. I mean, they really didn't understand. So I don't think that one really matters. What does matter though is I've always been open and honest and held space for them. So even their relationship with their father, when it has been tumultuous or it has been frustrating or they haven't felt loved or whatever emotion a kid's feeling, I always held space for that. And so as a still family, even though I'm not married to their dad anymore, we've had lots of conversations together. He'll come over to the house and the four of us will have a family meeting and we'll discuss. And now that I'm partnered again, Scott's now involved. He's not my second ex-husband. He is my current partner. And so Scott's part of the conversation. And we have a family meeting where it's the four of us. So my two kids, me, my ex-husband, and Scott. And we'll make decisions about school, or we'll have a hard conversation because someone's feeling ignored or their cups aren't being filled. We're not spending enough time with them. And the kids they have a safe space to say that to us. So I think it's kind of like that open communication and love and dialogue carries through everything that we do, including open conversations. So my last marriage, when we did open up our sexualness, we did open up our relationship to have sex with other people. We didn't sit the kids down and say, hey, we're banging other people. But when something got really serious, so Scott, my partner now, he was the second man that I met off Tinder a year and a half ago when I was still married. And things with him got serious pretty quickly. Within 2 months, my kids were going over and playing video games with him. He would come have breakfast with us out at Cracker Barrel or whatever. And it got to this point where I was like, we need to tell them that he's not just a friend, because they could pick up on these romantic vibes that him and I were having. Or we'd like sneak in his kitchen and have a quick little makeout session while the kids were playing video games in his living room. Like, it was escalating to the point where I didn't want them to think I was cheating on my ex-husband. And I felt like they were emotionally age appropriately ready to at least know that we had an open marriage. So that conversation went something like, and I told the oldest one first. We were sitting in the car together and I was like, I need to talk to you a little bit about some things. And I said, you know, Derek and I have been going through marriage counseling for a while. You know that because you've seen it on the calendar. They're very aware of what we do. And we're really trying hard to work on our marriage. And we've decided to open up our relationship, which just means that we have so much love to go around that we have love for other people outside of each other even, which is really great. And so Scott, who you've met, is actually not just my friend. He's my boyfriend. We've been dating for a while. I know, I'm sure you're listening to this and you guys are like, oh my God, this is the way it came out. And to your point, which is really cute, my oldest was like, okay. Okay. Like, I could see him processing. And he was like, okay, all right, cool. And so then I was like, don't say anything to your brother. I want to talk to your brother. So then I had the same conversation with little brother, who really bonded quickly and hard with Scott. And so he was more like, oh, cool, this is great. We love Scott. And so that's how it went. So I would just say with each phase in our lives, I've been really open and honest with the kids. I sort of treat them like adults, but not to the point where they have any unnecessary sexual information that's way past their age group. And then we have, again, conversations openly. When Derek and I did decide that we were going to get divorced, we had a family meeting and the boys were part of it. And we said, we love each other so much and we're going to allow each other to move on. We're still going to be part of your lives. Obviously, I'm your mother. I'm not going anywhere. Derek's still going to be a part of your life. He's still going to come support you and come to your games, but he's just not going to live here anymore. And we love him and we want him to be so happy. And so that's what's happening. That's what's going on. And I thought the boys would have a million questions mm-hmm. because I remember when my parents had this conversation with me when I was six and I was like, what did I do? Did I cause this? I felt so much guilt as a child that I had done something to cause this. I guess I kind of like put that on my kids and projected onto them that they would have the same reaction, and they didn't. They were like, okay, cool. Do you have a pool at your new place? That's all they wanted to know. Can you have Timmy the dog come with you and hang out too? Maybe he wants to have an overnight. Like, are dogs allowed? So I guess because we hadn't made such a big deal of everything and we just kind of brought it up into random, you know, like just we brought it up in conversation, they just rolled with it.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are amazing.
Yeah, they really are. And I love that you're teaching them the way that you can break up like this is kind and compassionate and loving. And I keep telling my son when he's 14 and he's had a few girlfriends, and I just remind him, you know, going into the relationship, you will likely not marry this person and be with them for the rest of your life. It's fun to get to practice how you have relationships. So knowing that, you know, when you break up, you're going to be nice and remember the things that you love about this person, that you enjoyed about them, and that it was fun hanging out with them for that time of your life, but we're supposed to change and grow and evolve. Now, do you speak to, are there some people that you work with that have started out thinking conscious uncoupling was a thing, that they wanted to go down that path, but you helped them kind of discover a reconnection with each other? Or is that really out of your realm? Are you like working with people that are like,
great question. Yeah, no, that hasn't been my experience, because by the time I get them, typically they are ready to move on. And so they've already made the decision. So I'm not there to work with them from a relationship perspective of like, are you sure? Usually I ask, like, is every stone unturned? Have you been to therapy? Have you worked with someone already intensely? Have you tried? Have you blah, blah, blah? Have you done a separation and come back together? And usually by the time I get them, they're ready to walk out the door. And so it's, okay, now how do we do this in a graceful, loving, compassionate way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. People need that. I'm so grateful that you're doing this work. Is there anything that you want to share that you think would be helpful to people that are maybe just, you know, feeling through that tough decision of whether or not they want to go down this path, or their resources, or I know that you're coaching people when they are ready to move through, but
yes. Well, I just looked to the left. If I don't know if you're using video at all, but Catherine Woodward Thomas is the author of Conscious Uncoupling. Go buy that book immediately if you're thinking about breaking up with your person. She gives so many interesting, amazing, thought-provoking ideas within the book and suggestions, and her own clients. She gives quite a bit of reference to that in her work with them. That, and she reframes the way you think. I feel like I've been neurally rewired by her just from reading the book. And for example, one of the couples that she talks about, the wife, I think it was the wife who was the breadwinner, and she ended up giving her husband, who actually left her for another woman, like $100,000 when they got divorced, because he always wanted to be an author and he couldn't be an author with his current job. And he had to quit his job and take a sabbatical and write a book. And she was like, thank you so much for being married to me for 20 years. Thank you so much for giving me these amazingly beautiful children. Thank you so much for pouring your life into your work. And I know that you've always wanted to write a book, and I'm going to make this happen for you. Like, here's a check for $100,000. Go live your best life. Have so much fun. And that, so I'm like, that rewires me. And I'm like, okay, how much can I show even more compassion and love to people that end up breaking up with me, whether it's, again, someone romantic or something else? So what I would say is, if you are thinking about breaking up with your person, try to find a way to soften your heart. I know that you feel angry, you feel justified, you feel hurt, you feel maybe betrayal. And instead of attack mode, instead of blowing up your entire life and the lives of your kids and the life of your family and your extended family, what can you do differently? And I'm not saying that you have to stay together, but how can you do it in a way that's loving and kind? How can you break up in a way where they can still come to Thanksgiving next year? How can you break up in a way where, you know, you're going to be stuck if you have kids for the rest of those kids' lives, every wedding, every baptism, every single new baby born, how can you break up in a way where that isn't filled with tension and anger and hatred? And maybe stop and take a piece of paper and a pen and write down ways that you can be loving. Write down ways that you can break up sweetly. These are not words you would typically use with a breakup, right? So try to find the alternative to what society has programmed us with and instead write your own rules. That's what I'd suggest.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to that. That was so well said.
I don't think so, other than I have been thinking throughout this podcast that you hosting this podcast episode are part of the change. And as parents, as adults, we are also part of the change. And so I think having conversations with our kids about, like you do with your child, your 14-year-old, of realistically what to expect out of life, instead of programming them that you get married to one person forever and ever, amen, and you have a white picket fence and 2.5 kids and a dog, that people flow in and out of your life, that we have seasons of change and it's okay, and that we can love our partners enough to let them go and find their own true happiness when we are living in alignment, when we're living out of love, and that that's the way to move forward. And if we can tell our kids that, imagine how much easier their lives are going to be as boyfriends and girlfriends flow in and out, as husbands and wives flow in and out, as best friends flow in and out, that it's just the natural flow of life. And it's okay. In fact, it's perfect.
It is perfect. Yeah. And everyone's a part of that journey, and some are just a stop and some are with you forever. And If they're not, that's okay. And I think we could do a whole nother podcast on friendships and what that looks like with that relationship dynamic, but I will leave it here. I think this is a beautiful place to leave it. And I'm so grateful for your time and your wisdom and your life experiences and your vulnerability to be like, hey, we don't have to do it the way everybody's doing it, because I think there are a lot of people that are just scratching their heads and really hurting in their hearts, trying to figure out what they can do to live their best life and let their partners and family members live their best life too. So thank you for what you do. And I will, of course, link up all the connections to you so that people can contact you on open relationships and conscious uncoupling and online dating. Anything else you want to share?
No, thank you so much for having me on. This has been fun.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Thanks for listening. Share the love by sharing the podcast and share your reviews and comments on the platform you listen to this on. If you'd like to connect with me about coaching, workshops, or transformative retreats, you can find me at shannonhammaker.com. That's Shannon, H-A-M as in Mary, A-K-E-R. This features music by the band Tinka Tinka and was edited by Natasha Rivera.